PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
We are live. Welcome to the Worst Golf Podcast. Everybody wants to be the best. We strive to be the worst. When a bad take is necessary, we'll be here to share it with you. I'm your host, JB, and with me is Morgan. She'll spend most of her time off camera. She's here to keep me in line with all those buttons. Before we get started, make sure you subscribe on YouTube if you're watching it there and like the video. We have a big packed show for you guys today. But I'm going to start out with, as people, anybody who's alive would know that. Well, first I should start out in saying we do not have a camera where both of us are on screen today.
We're because, a hot mess today.
Because apparently that backfired on us. Well, sort of. It's sitting there. It's literally in front of us, Morgan. You can see it.
I can see the light screen.
Yeah.
It works. It's kind of.
And it's not functioning.
No.
But there's a hurricane coming. I don't want to say towards us. Well, kind of towards us.
No, it's coming towards us.
Hurricane Ian. And we're going to go. We don't know if we're going to have power by the time this show ends. So if we end abruptly, we weren't canceled or anything. But you'll know the reason. It means we lost power.
Who cancels us, though? We cancel ourselves?
I mean, yeah.
Right?
With me talking on this thing weekly, I'm pretty sure there's a point we're going to get canceled by somebody. Wouldn't you agree?
Maybe by YouTube if you keep cursing as much as you've been
cursing.
That
is true.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we have a hurricane coming towards us. And with that, it's going to make landfall south of us where your parents live.
Yes. So if I seem a bit distracted, I am, because my parents are like right where they're supposed to have a direct hit. So I just keep, I have my phone next to me because I've been making them check in with me every hour on the hour.
Someone asked in the chat if Morgan forgot to get dressed. I mean, you're dressed.
I have clothes on.
Yeah.
That'd be weird.
Yeah. That
very
would
be weird.
Yeah. That wouldn't work for me. But yeah, so the hurricane's going to make landfall somewhere on the west coast of Florida down south. We are up north in the northeast section. Your parents are down south by that area. My parents are in the northeast section as well, south of us. We don't know what's going to happen. I do know I'm supposed to leave Sunday.
Yes.
And I'm supposed to leave here and drive north to North Carolina to the Dormy Club.
Correct.
For Shaft Up with US Team EMEA. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to get out of here Sunday.
Yeah, that's going to be very up in the air, because even if you can get out of here, you might be driving with the storm. You might be driving where there's too much flooding. There's going to be all kinds of, there's a whole lot of what ifs going on right now.
Yeah, so bear with us. We're a little scatterbrained, but we are here. And we have a pretty good show. Later on in the show, we're going to take some questions on anything you want to ask us. You know, we live by a motto of transparency. So anything you guys want to know, we will answer within reason.
Yes.
And, we'll go with it from there. Obviously, Arrow's sitting next to us here. I'm petting him, but you can't see him because that camera's not functioning.
That just looks creepy now.
We also
just saying.
We also have a contest coming up. I see V Golf Man is in the chat. We are going to give away a ball fitting with V Golf Man, Michael Verska. And whatever you get fit for, we're going to send you some golf balls from the Callaway lineup. I'll get sappy for a second. I've known Michael for, I'll say, about 12 years out of the close to 15 years we've been doing this, going back a couple of companies and being able to work with him closely. He's been an incredible resource for both my knowledge and the knowledge I can share with our audience, as well as him directly sharing it with his audience, with our audience. And he came to me with this idea. I didn't come to him. Callaway didn't come to me. He came to me with this idea because we were talking about ball fitting, and I thought it was a great one. And we happen to have some golf balls here, so we're going to give those away to the lucky person. And stay tuned on how to enter that. I want to talk briefly, and it's not even in our show notes, about a ball fitting I had.
Okay.
And I went through one. It was brand agnostic, and it wasn't much. And they just had me hit 7 irons.
Okay.
And it showed quite a bit of difference. So I'll start with the story of, I decided to try this because I wanted to get feedback for other people. I already knew what the results would be. Dan and I have done probably more ball testing than just about anybody on the planet, outside of the OEMs that test everything, in terms of iron fitting for golf balls and the differences you see. We have multiple videos out on this YouTube channel where you can see us taking a range of golf balls from, hey, we hit the Chrome Soft lineup, here's what you'll see, or we hit the Titleist lineup, here are the differences, all the way to the extremes of here's what happens when you hit a firm golf ball, here's what happens when you hit a soft golf ball, and talk about that. We've done a lot of that kind of testing, so I wanted to go through this, and what I found is, for me, the more violent the impact, the greater the difference is with the golf ball. So for me, the biggest difference comes with a driver. I'm a high spin guy because I'm pretty steep, so getting something that'll take some of the spin off while still allowing launch is a great thing. And they fit me towards a softer golf ball, and it showed, you know, a pretty good amount of distance and quality spin numbers. But everybody's different. And I'm leading to this roundabout way of nowhere to say that I'm giving a kind of a quick preview of, we have another podcast on this network called Off Course, hosted by Dan. And he has a show coming up Friday with Michael Verska that everybody that is into golf equipment needs to listen to.
Yes.
So the best way for me to say it is, there's hard and fast rules in golf. You know, a firmer ball will be faster and usually more spin. A softer ball will be, despite lack of word, less speed. I hate the term of slower because that's not really the case. But those things don't mean distance. And in club heads, you know, you move weight forward towards the face, you might see more speed and more spin and lower launch, and or less spin, excuse me, and you move it back, so on and so forth. There are hard and fast rules. With shafts, there's not. And there are from a dynamic standpoint of how a shaft is built, but when you put it in hands, it's different. And the breakdown that Dan and Michael do on this show talking about this is unlike anything I've ever heard. You guys are not going to want to miss it. It is just that good. I see Ryan Liberty in the chat saying Off Course is a better host. He wouldn't know. He's never listened to it. But he did as a guest. Actually, he probably has listened to the show he was on.
I take offense to that.
Yeah, you should take offense to that.
I do. I take a little offense to that. And I love you, Ryan, but take a little offense to that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, listen, the guy carried me for a couple of days at the Budget Championship, and all of a sudden he has shots to take. But so it's a show you're not going to want to miss if you like golf equipment. It's a deep dive, and Dan and Michael take an approach that's unlike anything I've ever heard. But going back a little bit, we were talking about I got to leave on Sunday.
Yes.
And I'm leaving to go to North Carolina, from North Carolina to Chicago, from Chicago to Mississippi, and then back here.
Correct.
Assuming I'm able to leave.
Right, exactly.
And we got to talking about the stuff I have to take on this trip, because I'm hitting multiple events. I have, you know, the US Team EMEA event. I have the thing in Chicago on golf balls with Club Champion. And then I have the Morgan Cup in Mississippi. That's a lot of gear to carry.
Yes, it is.
Do you think it's going to fit?
I don't know. We're going to find out. We're going to test my Tetris skills and see. I'm most concerned about just having all of that stuff in the car and then staying at like random hotels off of a highway.
Well, I'll bring everything in.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. I'll bring everything into the hotel because I'm not going to let somebody's stuff get taken for that reason.
Yeah. We're going to make it fit. I'm not sure how yet. And this will continuously go back to, should we or shouldn't we have gotten a car that
seats so
do go back in the from the trunk to the back seat?
I asked this the other day of, when you're choosing, we definitely do not have a Prius, I can assure you of that, or a Suburban. But when you're choosing your car or vehicle, do you choose something based on golf clubs being able to fit? And I think in my case, the answer is no, with a caveat of, I made sure they would, but how many could fit? Could I fit four sets in there, so to speak? Your car, obviously, we could fit 20.
We could fit a lot of mine. But no, I think that when you were looking, that was kind of a prerequisite, was to make sure that you could fit. For you, it was probably not even so much golf bags. I should probably switch to me.
Yes, please.
Sorry. I think it was more about this because it's what we do.
I love that Michael Verska has come into the chat, so everybody's just asking him questions. We could pretty much sit in silence.
I'm fine with that. It was more golf boxes. Like, how many golf boxes could you fit for traveling?
Yeah.
That was kind of more, I think, what we were thinking about versus the actual like bags of golf bags. Cause I think a lot of times too, because of how much stuff you take, cause a lot of people want to have like their whole bag in there with the driver, but you would be taking the heads off half the time anyhow, because of the quantity that you would be
right.
With.
You know, when we had the tour van, it was a little different. We could fit as much as we needed both tour vans. We had the big 40 footer and then we had the Sprinter van, both, you know, could hold as much as we needed. But when you're buying a car, I'll ask the audience, do you pay attention to that kind of stuff? I think in the future I will. Obviously, my trunk is actually surprisingly large, but I think it's important.
I will add this too. I think that any time that we've ever gone and looked at cars, which is way more than we should,
it's debatable.
They always ask, "Are you a golfer?" Have you noticed that? They'll always say, like, "Are you a golfer? Check out the trunk space. You can easily fit, you know, a bag of clubs, or you can easily fit a travel case." Why? I can't.
That brings up an interesting question. Have you ever noticed when you ask somebody if they play golf, it's always yes, but there's a caveat.
Oh, like, it's always, yes, yeah, but I stink.
I stink. Or, yeah, everybody stinks.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. Everybody's terrible. I mean, we created a website based on that. It's called The Hacker's Paradise.
Yeah, I know, which I still get. What's the name of your website?
Yeah.
Let me explain. I always have to let me explain.
That is very true. I'm going to give you a great segue, Morgan. Do you know what else sucks?
What?
Cartpath only.
Oh, hate Cartpath only.
It is truly one of my least favorite things in all of golf, and I'll usually avoid playing it. Obviously, the people in Florida here coming up are going to be Cartpath only for probably the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But one of your biggest rants ever on the golf course with cart path only is when you watch somebody park their cart on the cart path, run out to their ball, wherever that may be, with a laser in their hand and no clubs.
Yes.
Why do people do that?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person.
I'll ask the audience. Why do you do that? Why can you not bring clubs with you? I'm so confused by that. To the point where I don't even understand it. I want to understand it. I want to understand the thought process of running out to get distance without the clubs.
Okay, so I feel like I know that someone...
Thanks for that camera switch so I can take a drink.
I'm working on it. I'm so used to it just being on you, so it's kind of weird for me to keep moving it to me. But damn it, now I lost my train of thought. Oh, I think it could be, if it's car path only, there's a good chance that the ground's really wet. So I can understand... Maybe as I'm saying this, I still don't really understand it, but I can understand where someone would be like, well, I don't want to take my clubs and have to put them on the ground because then they're going to get wet.
So bring a towel.
Well, yeah, but then your towel's wet.
So bring a tee and rest them on the tee.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
many. No, I agree with you. It just takes what's already a slower round and makes it slower. And it's super freaking
take
annoying.
Your bag.
Bring your clubs.
Like, I saw M. Maynard in the chat said Gavin took. He did. He took his whole bag right off the cart and walked over there with it. Like, what?
That's smart.
I can't figure it out why it's okay to do that. And it's truly, and I'm going to say this and probably anger people, it's like the most selfish act. Slow golf is the most selfish act on a golf course. It's worse than not fixing pitch marks and everything else.
Well, like,
because you are literally screwing every single other person on the golf course.
Well, like Ryan says in the comments, he said that it's okay to be a bad golfer, but bad golfers don't still need to learn how to play golf. It's not, or play fast. It's not that hard.
Yes.
And that's true. You can take a whole bunch of shots, because I've never broken 100, but I've played with Josh my entire time that I ever played. So I learned how to play.
Those 6 months were fun.
I actually played for a couple of years.
You did.
Yeah. And I was ready golf, you know, like there was no questioning. Like I keep up with you, even if I did hit like 100 more shots.
So that's my rant. I know you have a get off my lawn segment.
I do, but I'm taking a sip of water first.
Okay. I could rant for a long time about the cart path only thing, but everybody knows it's terrible. So, you know, it is what it is. Just bring your clubs with you.
All right, you ready to turn my light red?
No, but
no,
no.
Well, this is
I'm not
good
prepared.
One.
I'm not prepared today for the get off my lawn with the turning the light red.
You're really gonna screw this one up then, because this is a good one.
I have a tendency to do that.
All right, okay. I have a whole story that's gonna go back to this get off my lawn. So already, I have said
look, there's Arrow's ear.
Oh, yeah. I have said forever that if you were the first car at a green light or at the light and the light turns green, it is your responsibility to be paying attention. So when the light turns green, you go. This is not difficult. This is like driving 101, okay? And people, you know, everybody's on their phones and whatever. If you are the first car, get off your phone, pay attention to the light, and when it turns green, you go. And this is especially important when you have now been sitting for 45 minutes in a school zone, or in my case, the sixth school zone that I hit on my way home after I had to go.
See, I hear this and think you're correct. Children ruin everything.
No, it's not about the children.
It kind of is.
No, it's about the irresponsible parents who are on their phone instead of not paying attention. Because if we've been sitting here for 45 minutes and that light turns green and you don't go, I will honk until my horn doesn't work anymore. Okay, I will. And I don't care. Go.
How is the soccer mom going to get the picture for Facebook and her group chats to show off that she dropped her child off at the bus?
This is not my problem. I don't
care. It kind of is.
I don't care. Just go. Just go. The light is green. Go. We have like this much. We have this much of an opportunity to go. Go. That's my rant. It was a good one too. I'm still bad. This happened to me on Friday. And I literally sat there and I put it in the notes after. And I was like, this is going to be my get off the lawn segment. Because I sat through six different school zones. And then I finally get to my last one. And this person's just la, la, la. I was not very nice at that time. And I'm usually not a road rage person. I'm really not. Like, I'm actually a pretty calm person. But if you have the green light, it is your responsibility. Go.
So we mentioned earlier in a big tease going into this show for people who are watching live and those who follow us up today to win a ball fitting with Michael Verska and your choice of Callaway golf balls. You're going to enter at the end of this show by leaving a comment on our YouTube channel. You're going to have to leave it at the video there, not on the forum. We'll tell you exactly what to leave later on, but it won't be what's the worst segment. They're all freaking terrible today, but you will leave that and, make sure you like and subscribe, of course, but you're going to get a chance to win a great ball fitting virtually with Michael. He's going to walk you through everything you need to do, and we'll get that all set up for you and get you in the right golf ball, because I'm not going to give away too much from off course, but he talks about the ball fitting aspect of actual fitting and how important it is. And I think it is so underutilized in golf fitting in general. And what I mean by that is, the ball can make so much of a difference depending on what part of the bag you're hitting, be it wedges closer to the green, full shot irons, driver, and everything else. And if you're dealing with shaft changes that are talking, you know, 400 or 500 RPMs of difference, you could see double that with a ball change. So I'm truly excited for that person to be able to go through the fitting as well as what ball they get out and the feedback they give us. So once again, make sure you listen to Off Course on Friday. Dan and Michael do a phenomenal job of walking through everything.
It'll drop first thing in the morning.
First thing in the morning.
Assuming we have power.
Assuming we have power.
We'll figure it out. We'll make it work. We can hotspot for a minute if we have to.
Yes. Well, that's not going to help us turn the computers on and everything.
I'm so stupid sometimes. This is why I shouldn't be live.
I was talking to someone in the golf industry yesterday about old movies and then movies in general. And have you noticed that every movie or TV show coming out as a remake?
Yeah, there's nothing original anymore.
It's like you either have Marvel or you have a remake.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. What's the other Marvel? It's Marvel, and isn't there another one?
DC. With Batman and things like that.
Yeah.
But there is a remake I'm super excited about.
Okay.
Fletch.
Okay. I'm not sure I've seen this.
We've been through this.
Okay. I know. And then I see like a scene and I think, okay, I think I did see this. But then I'll see another scene. I'm like, I don't know if I really am not sure.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
Really? How long have we known each other? Well, let's explain something. So movies are not my thing. It's not that I like movies. I can't stay awake. So usually I can make it through about half of a movie and then I'm out. So if you named 100 movies, maybe I've seen one of them. Maybe. Yeah. Never seen any of The Godfathers. What did we just finally see? Did I finally see? No, I don't think I've seen all of the Star Wars either.
No, you haven't.
No. Like all of like these. Like,
I think you in a little bit you take pride in not seeing any movies too.
No, I don't. I've seen what's the Spaceballs? I've seen that a lot. My dad loved that movie.
Wonderful.
So anyhow,
go so excuse me. They've remade Fletch, John Hamm from Progressive commercials.
I know. That's what he's best known for now.
This is where our conversation went, as we were talking about Fletch, because both of us are big fans of the original and whether or not we'll watch it. And the interview that he was talking about to me made me go find this interview, which was John Hamm talking about how he's not trying to replace Chevy Chase, or this was not trying to replace the original Fletch, but rather pay homage to it. And I'm pretty into it. I think we're going to have to watch that one. I mean, you may have to sit through the original first.
Well, I was going to say, do I have to sit through the original?
Yes.
Oh, you know what else we haven't seen still? The,
These are great, by the way.
I told you, I'm distracted.
Anyway.
Top Gun, the second Top Gun.
No, we have not seen the second Top Gun yet, which most people say is the best sequel ever.
I got there. If you
I think Rocky 2 would give that a run for the money. But anyway, Fletch is out. I think you can actually get it on YouTube and other places to stream it right away. If anybody's seen it, leave us a comment on if it's any good. I'm super excited. I think I'll watch that on my trip so you don't have to sit through it. But I'm super excited for that one. But it is really true. There are no original movies anymore that are worth watching anyway, or that get me excited. It's either Marvel or a remake.
Even Quantum Leap.
Yeah, that's a TV show.
No, I know, but you said TV also. Yeah, so I'm saying Quantum Leap. They're remaking Quantum Leap, but it's just not the same without the original guy, who I don't even know his name, but anytime I've seen him in anything else on TV, I'm just like, that's the Quantum Leap guy.
The NCIS New Orleans guy?
Yeah, but he's the Quantum Leap guy. That's what I'm trying to say.
When we just came back from an event at Ballyhack, and it's something I've talked about before, about the real, how much we rely on certain things on a golf course, and how so people are so different, whether it's a feel thing or whether it's bad eyesight, whatever it is, or how mechanical somebody is. But are you one of those people who lasers from 20 yards away from the green? I want to hear it, and I'm not shaming anybody. I mean, I kind of am, but I don't mean to, but I'm curious, because I saw somebody lasering and then ask the four caddy for a distance from right behind a greenside bunker. And I'm very curious what the reasoning is.
I don't know. Unless somebody's really unsure within a certain distance, so they're trying to really dial in that number so that they can pick a club.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the club is going to be the same. I can guarantee you that. But I'm really curious on if they can't tell if they're 20 or 40 yards, or if there's a different shot, let's say, from 20 to 22. I'm genuinely curious about this and how it works in the mind.
Yeah, because I can't imagine.
So I'd love to hear from you guys if you're one of those people that lasers from everywhere around the course, or needs distances from everywhere and things like that. I really want to know what the reasoning is on a shot selection kind of thing. So if, like I said, if you're 40 yards or 32 yards, how that impacts your shot, because you would think you could see you're slightly closer. You're not going to take a different club. I'd love to know the answer to that. We're talking about golf carts and cart path only. There's something I also wanted to ask the audience, which is the 90-degree rule. I was talking to one of those rangers that knows everything. You know the people. We ranted about them early on. The ones who were going to tell you about every facet of the course.
Yes.
Well, this person went on a rant to me about the 90-degree rule and how apparently when they say carts are 90 degrees, that just means there's no rules.
What?
Yeah, so 90-degree rule means you go to where your ball is and then you go across to it.
Yeah, 90 degrees.
Exactly. I've always kind of followed that. But apparently, we are in the minority. And so I decided to do like a little bit of a test and watch at THP events. And I think the ranger is right. I think as soon as they go from cart path only and they lift that to 90 degrees, it's basically like, let's just drive down the golf course.
Yeah, I was going to say, so that basically is either cart path only or not.
Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out the reasoning, or is there just an aspect of, hey, it's too much. If I'm driving up 40 yards, it seems stupid to drive back to the cart path and then back over. But I'm genuinely curious about that too, because this person was adamant that they hold off on putting people back on the course because nobody follows the 90-degree rule.
That's so disappointing.
Yeah. So ask your ranger when you're at your course next time what their thoughts are on 90 degrees and if they expect people to follow it. I'm super curious about this.
Dan brings up a really interesting point.
Oh, in the chat?
Yeah.
What did he have to say?
He said, here's the problem. Most people do what the course shows. So if they see tracks going down the fairway, they follow suit.
Right. But that's still not 90 degrees.
No, but what he's saying is
that the reason for slow play and everything? Like, I guess I understand that thought process, but maybe those tracks are from a worker or something else. If the course says 90 degrees, why don't we use 90 degrees or at least some semblance of it?
Yeah, I think what he's saying is that it may say that, but if they see tracks, they're like, oh, well, everybody else is doing it, so this must be okay. So I'm just going to do it too.
Yeah.
That's how I
struggle. I struggle with that aspect, but I think Dan might be right.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on the road for the next 2 weeks, eating and making very bad decisions with the food I eat.
Probably.
So why don't you share your recipe of the week this week on something healthier, because they've been a big success for people.
Okay. First of all, I just got a text from my parents and they said that they're doing okay. It is getting windier and rainy, but everything is okay. Anyhow, on to the recipe. So this week's recipe, well, I was going to do pumpkin, but you guys crapped on that hard
last week.
Yeah, like no love for the pumpkin.
That's because it's awful.
It's delicious. And I had pumpkin spiced overnight oats this morning and it was fantastic. So you guys miss out, but that's fine. You did say that butternut squash was acceptable. So I went ahead and did a butternut squash recipe and I thought it was a good one too because it's a chili. So you can put it in the crock pot and it's great for as the seasons are changing. Chili, you know, as it gets cooler, chili just really works. Plus it always reheats really well. This one in particular, I actually think tastes way better the second day.
I saw JB Cobb was in the comments and he mentioned something about food. He was also the one that said garlic is terrible. So I'm sorry, your food takes will not be taken seriously on
this
show.
This recipe calls for 7 cloves of garlic. So
yeah,
he's not going to want this. And I actually probably use more than that because I always use more than whatever it says. But yeah, it's a butternut squash chili. And I'm going to post it up because I'm going to give you guys a stovetop recipe, which is actually the recipe that was written. But then I decided to do it in the crock pot because I just thought it was way easier. So I'll give you that option as well and tell you how I did it. It does have something unique because it adds cinnamon to it. I would start small with the cinnamon if you don't know if you're going to like that. Maybe because it calls for a teaspoon, I would use a half a teaspoon. I did the full teaspoon because I already knew that I was going to like it. But it's pronounced. You can taste it. You know that it's there. So maybe go half a teaspoon to start with. And then if you like it, you want to add a little more, you can keep messing with the recipe until you find what you like. And remember, with any recipe, make it your own. Change it. Use what you have in the house. You don't have to go out and buy supplies. Just use what you have. And if
like
what you like.
Macaroni and cheese. Sorry.
Sure. As a side. Anyway, I really liked it. I thought it was different. It was just a different take on a typical chili. It still has meat. It has meat. It has beans. It has, you know, all whatever you want in there. But the butternut squash, which also real quick on the butternut squash, I personally think they're a pain in the ass to cut up. So
language.
Yeah, sorry. I had a butternut squash, so I did the whole thing and I cut it up and everything. But if I could do it again, I would just buy the pre-cut stuff from the grocery store because I think they're such a pain. And if you haven't used a butternut squash before, real quick, the easiest way to do it is to poke a couple of holes in it and stick it in the microwave for like 4 or 5 minutes. Let it soften up. You can even do the last 3 minutes. Let it soften up before you put a knife in there, because if not, you could seriously lose a finger. Then you cut it open, scoop out all of the insides, make sure that you also peel it.
This sounds exhausting.
The outside. It's why it's easier to just get it cut up. The outside is not edible. I mean, you can try, but I would not recommend it. Anyway, if you have any questions, let me know. But I hope you enjoy it, and I'll get this posted on the forum after we're done with this.
That's great. I'm sure there's some people who will try that out. Some people may have seen over the last week on social media, we put up a kind of a quick video. You filmed me opening up a box. It was an unboxing, and inside were dozens of white label golf balls. Stay tuned for next week on the THP forum. I don't know if it'll be the the first half of the week or the second half of the week, but we will have a sign up for you to be able to test those. These are white box, white label. I won't even tell you what brand it is. We will when the testing thread comes out, but stay tuned for that because I think you're going to be really excited. And white box golf ball testing is always fun. The reason being is nobody goes in with preconceived notions.
This is true.
They just talk about the product and how it performs to them. Now, once they get the ball in their hand, they'll see what the brand is and everything. And we'll tell everybody what the brand is, but we're not going to tell them anything past that. So they're going to get to find basically what it does for them with no preconceived notions of what the product is. A lot of times, sadly, it turns into, let me find out what it is.
I was just going to say
instead
that.
Of just testing it for people. But in reality, it's a lot of fun. It is something that's very different and you're going to be able to test them out. So we're looking forward to doing that. We're looking forward most of all to your feedback. Also tomorrow on our website, for those that follow that and not just social, we are going to have a contest up for US Team EMEA and our friend Danny and myself, assuming I can make it to Dormy Club.
Somehow, some way you're going to make it there.
Yeah, I'll get there. I just might be a little late. We're going to have a contest up where you pick who's going to win, if it's going to be Danny and I, or if it's going to be the two lucky participants who are going to Shaft Up. And we've got a good prize package picked out. It's actually really good. So you are going to want to enter that one. Speaking of winning.
Yes.
So we don't talk a lot about the industry side of winning. You know,
what do you mean?
Winning to a golf company is different than winning to a golfer. A golfer winning means he played well.
Or
winning
she.
To a golf company usually means more sales.
Sure.
And
being number one in whatever.
I found something. Now, I haven't talked to the company about this, so I'm going to be slightly guarded in how I word it because I haven't asked Callaway about it. But TaylorMade had been on a bit of a roll since the launch of Stealth.
Mm-hmm.
It makes perfect sense. It's something different. It's new. It's bold. And they were number one in sales for the driver. And I saw a report. I got it from a retailer that rhymes with Superstore. And it showed that the market share had shifted and that Callaway had taken over the number one spot.
I know this stuff fascinates you.
Well, it fascinates me from the consumer standpoint more than it does from the manufacturer standpoint, because obviously it's their job to sell products. You know, they can be great people, they could be bad people, whatever it is. From the consumer standpoint, what was the shift from? And I've dug in a little bit, mm-hmm. again, not talking to either TaylorMade or Callaway about it because I didn't want to do that. And I asked some independent fitters, I've asked some bigger fitters, and for them, the market share shows what they've seen in the hitting bay. But for the consumers out there who have who are purchasing, I'd love your feedback on, do any of those numbers mean anything to you? Do you like the business side of golf? Do you like hearing about the business side of golf? Because some people do and some people don't.
I see Kay Brady asked, aren't they having quality issues? Who, I don't know who you're referring to.
I believe he's referring to TaylorMade because there were a lot of rumors of the carbon fiber face having
yes.
some issues.
Okay, that makes sense.
I personally believe those have been overstated. So to give you some backstory, the carbon fiber face has been around for as long as we've been doing this. Mm-hmm. One of my first trips ever to California, I met with a gentleman who's now at a different company. At the time he was with TaylorMade, he showed me the face, which looks almost identical to the Stealth face.
I think I remember this.
You were with me.
Yeah. I remember this.
And they talked about it, and they talked about why it could happen, why it wouldn't happen, whether or not it's faster, things like that. So it's not something necessarily new, but it's something that is being done now. I don't think the quality, I think that's more overstated. Because if somebody caves in a face or breaks a face or has a breakage for a titanium or steel face, you don't really hear much about it. Whereas if you do with a carbon fiber face, it's going to be right on social media. Like, look what I broke, because it's new.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when an iPhone runs low on batteries, you hear about it. When fill in the blank LG model does, you won't, because there's less of those out there.
Sure. Makes sense.
You know, so I don't really think the quality standpoint. Now, having said that, I don't play a stealth. I actually played the Callaway driver. The carbon fiber thing's been, it's not a new thing either. It's been done before. I think V Golfman said in the thing, the Callaway C4. Yeah, it's been done for in a number of years, and it's not going to go away. But having said that, going back to the business side of it, what do people want to hear that information? I saw that somebody in the chat asked if the Callaway reps had mentioned this week. Yeah, they did talk about it. Somebody asked them the question of if they would be going to carbon fiber because their head of R&D was at our event, and her answer was flat out no. They test a lot of different materials, and they have not seen a single reason to do that.
Can I just correct real quick? You said Callaway, but the question was said
Titleist. Oh, rep. Titleist. I'm sorry.
No problem. I just didn't want there to be any confusion.
Yeah, it was Titleist rep. I'm sorry. Her name is Stephanie Luttrell. She is head of Metalwoods at Titleist, and you know,
heck of a golfer, huh?
Yeah, she's a pretty good golfer. I got to play with her on day one. And she's worked throughout this industry, and she's got a great pedigree and obviously incredible knowledge, but in their testing, they did not see it. Her exact words were, carbon fiber can be very useful in a large amount of products, but as an impact material, they don't think it's the way to go. Mm-hmm. That was her answer. But going back to the business side of things, is seeing that shift at this point in the year was both interesting and in some ways maybe a little expected.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious if people like that information, if they want more about it and things like that, because I'm thinking about diving in a little deeper and I'm not sure people really care.
Based on the comments so far, yes, they do.
They do care.
Yes.
Okay. So we might dive into that a little bit because I'm going to be traveling, obviously. I've mentioned it 16 or 18 times now.
I wasn't going to say anything.
A lot coming up, but part of that is meeting with industry people.
Right.
And one of the things that I always find fascinating are when I get to sit down with fitters or shaft people and see what they're playing. And you know what's super interesting about it?
What?
There usually is a trend.
Okay.
So whatever, it's never like, oh, what's the hot thing? And now my gut feeling says, and I'll ask Danny or Don Brown at Project X, True Temper, or other people, if they're playing with the OEM, odds are they're playing that equipment.
Yeah, that would make sense.
But when they're playing with me, it's usually they play what they want to play. And you see a trend throughout, which is they're always usually playing the same gear. And I find that fascinating because I know they've tested everything.
Do you think that those type of people are maybe over analytical in a sense? And so they go with what, like the tried and true?
No, I think they're analytical and they go through the tried and true with what's based on data.
Okay.
So for instance, Danny will go into the bay and hit what he hits and choose what's best for him. And based on that. And Don is very similar. And I haven't played golf with Don in a few years, but he was always, hey, I'm going to play what's best for me. And I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I've always liked that about that side of the industry. So I'm going to be doing that and with fitting. So I'm going to kind of take my own little Daryl survey on what's in the bag from all these different people. And I'll be curious if we see a trend similar to what's done in market share. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're co-hosting this. Is the business side something you're interested in?
Yes. I find...
Nice camera switch.
Thanks. I'm working on it. I find these things really interesting. I actually thoroughly enjoy reading your brand stories and like learning about the history of things too. I think that's super fascinating. People have talked about that in the comments as well. But I think that it is. I think that, I don't know, Michael Scotting here. I lost my train of thought. I'm going to be completely honest here.
The brand stories thing is kind of interesting because for those that don't know why those started, they started because I wanted to learn.
Yeah.
I was doing some research on a brand and it was just like, wow, this stuff's really cool. And I asked you, do you think people would be interested in reading this stuff? And you said, yeah. So we put it together, and the first one, I want to say the first one was on the Callaway golf ball market share, and then we moved to Tour Edge Exotics and their history, and then we did something on the Bridgestone RX creation and Bridgestone golf balls and so on.
So it kind of goes back to the shows that we like on the History Channel, like, you know, the
yes,
how things are made, things like that. I think that people in general have that need or want for that kind of a knowledge, like wanting to know like the behind the scenes and the backgrounds and like the, how things were done or how things are made or why they are what they are now. So yeah, I definitely think that there is an audience for that.
Cool. So I'm going to embarrass myself here.
Go for it.
Are you ready?
Always.
So I was at this hotel in North Carolina, and I'm very, very curious what our audience would do in this situation. And I check in, and the weather was really bad. It was raining hard outside, so I couldn't go out to dinner, and they didn't really have like a restaurant inside the hotel. I think it was a Town Place Suites or something like that.
Well, they don't had, say it. Now they're going to know.
Well, I'm not trying to hide it. And they had the little lobby, and you know, you have a little kitchen up there.
Yeah.
And they have the little lobby and you can buy food. And I went downstairs and it was like 6 o'clock, and I was going to take out one of their frozen pizzas out of the refrigerator, and I pull it out with a diet Dr. Pepper. In fact,
not as good as the zero sugar.
No, definitely not as good. And I saw somebody mention DoorDash. Yeah, but I didn't really want to wait 40 or so minutes to get food. And I had to wake up at 4 a.m. for the drive home. So I just went downstairs. I grabbed one of those Stouffer's French bread pizzas, and I was waiting at the thing to have it billed to the room and go about my way. And I'm waiting and I'm waiting, and nobody comes out. There's no bell. There's nothing. I'm peering around the corner, 'cause you know, sometimes they're in that little office.
Yeah.
I'm peering around the corner. Can somebody help me? No.
How much actual time went by?
13 minutes of actual time.
Okay. Because sometimes it feels like an hour and a half.
Yeah. 13 minutes of actual time. At about the 6 minute mark, I went and put the thing back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just like, what am I going to do? So I grab it again. Mm-hmm. So I left after 13 minutes with the pizza.
Okay, I was going to say, you left with the pizza.
Yeah, the pizza and the drink. I left and I went upstairs.
Did you leave like a handwritten note?
No, but my plan was to go downstairs in the morning and tell them.
Sure.
And have them put it on my account. So I cooked the pizza and I said, you know, I'm getting pretty tired. I'm going to go back downstairs now and tell them. So figure an hour and a half went by, and I go back downstairs and there's still nobody there.
That's so weird.
And this time it was kind of weird because there was somebody waiting to check in too. And I said, how long have you been waiting? And the guy's like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. I said, okay, so I'm not going to try to cut in line of them. I go back upstairs and say, I'll do it in the morning. And then the morning came, I get my stuff and I'm going downstairs. It's like 4 a.m. There's nobody there again.
Right.
So I leave.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that what I did is wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you're a thief.
let's not get carried away. But what should I have done?
Left a note.
Yeah, I thought about that. But okay, so let me describe this little lobby thing. Because of COVID, they still have the plexiglass thing on it. And it's a very small thing. There was literally not a place for me to leave a note where they would have gotten it.
Hmm.
And you know what's the worst part is? I've literally felt terrible since then, to the point of I should call, but call and say what?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I guess you could have called from the room and seen if you can get somebody to answer. You know, they called the front desk, called C.
You know, it's funny that I should have done that. I didn't even think about that. Never even entered my mind. Because in my head, I was like, well, they're obviously on break or something like that.
Right. And but I'm sure they're short-staffed. Everybody is. So it's not too surprising to not have somebody for the later nights. But
yeah. The 4 a.m. when I kind of, like, there's still usually somebody there, but I kind of expected it. But twice in the evening, I don't know. I felt really bad.
No, I know that that's something that would eat you up inside.
So we mentioned earlier that we have a contest with Michael Verska.
Yes.
With golf balls to enter when our show is over. And we're not quite there yet. But when our show is over, you're going to leave a comment on which golf ball in the Callaway lineup you expect to get fit for.
Okay.
And then we will randomly pick somebody in the next 24 to 48 hours. We're going to give people the time because if they're not here live, we still want them to be able to enter.
Oh, yeah.
Later
exactly.
on today or tomorrow morning or whatever. And then we will pick somebody and then we'll get you guys all paired up through private messages to be able to do this. I'm super excited about it. But remember, you're going to leave the comment in YouTube with this video. Make sure you like the video on which Callaway golf ball you expect to be fit into.
Okay.
We mentioned earlier we're going to take some questions.
Yeah, I was going to say we're getting pretty late, so I think we should do that.
Yeah, so Before we get to some questions or while you're typing them out, yeah, I just want to remind everybody, I've done three teasers already. I cannot recommend the off-course show that's dropping on Friday enough. Dan enjoys talking tech. He does it with a guy, one of the most brilliant minds I know, and they break down golf shafts and shaft fitting in a way I've never heard before. It's fantastic. So if you guys got questions, we have answers. You can ask us anything. I got a question on social about this, and I'm going to answer this one real fast. And if anything else comes through, Morgan, will you feed it into me?
Yes.
We may not get any, which is even better. They asked what our partnership is like with the Dormy Network. And I want to say that we don't have one.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. I was like, we have a wonderful partnership with them. But I'm thinking relationship, not actual like, yeah. partnership.
And I see we're getting some questions. So remember them with what we're getting. We do not have one. We are members. THP Media is a member. And we will, you know, use that membership to bring our guests with us. We are not in a partnership with them. I'm not opposed to that, but we've never discussed it with them. We haven't reached out to them to try to discuss it. No. We're going about it just this way. Any questions?
I'll come over here. The 2023 Albatross Club will probably be, I think, November.
It's going to be slightly before that.
Slightly before that.
Yeah, it's probably going to be the second or third week in October.
And we don't do multi-year because we always evaluate at the end of each year who we're going to do our partnerships with and things. And so it's just a year by year thing. What else is there? My favorite THP staff member is Arrow. That was a loaded question, so I'm giving you a loaded answer.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Wow.
Arrow. Yikes. We know. Okay, in the pecking order of our world, Arrow, then spouse. Truth. Right?
I would have probably chosen you first.
You liar. You are a liar and you know it.
Yeah, I you're probably right.
Yeah. Sorry, Dan. It was a loaded question. I had to give a loaded answer.
Is confessing to his crime, is he forgiven? You know, you probably have to ask Marriott. I don't know. what's funny is it's a hotel I'm going to stay at again.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the way that I live my life, that I will absolutely say something when I'm there because I will not be, I'll like hear sirens trying to fall asleep if I don't.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of that. I got another question on social media asking what driver is in my bag right now? And the answer is currently for the trip that I'm going to, I have a Callaway Rogue ST Max with a custom Project X shaft in it.
Okay. Couple questions. Isn't squash a pumpkin or vice versa? I believe they're all, well, I don't know. I don't think so. Cause I think pumpkin is considered a gourd and I don't think that they're in the same family, but don't quote me on this. I'm not 100% sure, but it would make sense because like a butternut squash, he's got all this stuff on the inside.
This is crazy talk.
Yeah. I don't know. But the answer is, I don't know. That's where I should have just gone with.
Somebody asked us, is the menu been planned for Briggs Ranch? For those that are wondering, we announced that we're doing the Quest Cup with Edel Golf at Briggs Ranch in San Antonio. This property is going to blow people's minds. And the answer is no, but we literally talked to them this morning about it. And we actually had a debate. You should ask people what their thoughts are on that.
Oh,
chef's thing.
Okay.
This is perfect.
Okay. So,
I mean, nobody's listening anyway.
There was a suggestion about, because we're a more intimate group, that we could do something called a chef's table, which I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with. It's actually a really cool experience. We've done it a few times in different places, just us personally, not as a THP event, where it's like, we've talked about this, like a tasting menu. So like the chef selects it. You don't get to choose what it is, but they're going to give you like a 6-course or an 8-course. I think this one was a 6-course meal, and it's going to be whatever is fresh at the time. And they will create it for you and bring it out. And it's usually in a beautiful presentation. And usually the food is phenomenal, but you have to be adventurous. You have to be able to just say, yeah. So as much as I love the idea of doing this for you guys, and the chef usually comes out and presents it and he goes over everything and explains it. And I mean, it's a really cool experience.
Because we thought about that for one of the nights.
Yeah.
You know,
but I don't know that you guys would like that.
Yeah,
I worry,
do have a lot of meat and potatoes kind of people.
Yeah, I worry that you guys might be just a little too picky. No offense, I'm not trying to say it like that. I just want to make you, I want it to be an enjoyable experience for everybody.
Yeah.
And I don't
so we
want
have some
to
ideas
be uncomfortable.
For that.
Yeah, exactly. So let me know if that's something you would actually be into.
Couple of other questions. What happens if I can't leave for North Carolina on Sunday? The answer is I will leave Monday if possible, assuming that that's possible, you know, as the days go on, and just leave like at 3 a.m. and drive up there. I'll do whatever I have to do is the answer.
Yeah.
Somebody else asked if I have a favorite dormy property so far.
I think they each have their, I mean, obviously Ballyhack has goats. So goats kind of,
yeah, the Ballyhack goats are pretty awesome. Dormy Club, the comfort station's pretty cool. You know, it's hard to say. I don't. I would tell you so far, I would say I really enjoy visiting Ballyhack. But I like them all.
Yeah. We've talked about this and I've asked you that and you kind of said the same thing that there wasn't really a favorite.
Somebody asked for a barbecue recipe. I think we should do that next week for next week's show.
Do barbecue?
Yeah. Do a barbecue recipe. You've got some really good ones.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't even really barbecued very much. It's kind of funny in Florida, at least for us. Sorry. I keep forgetting to switch. We're more grilling season in the winter.
Yeah.
Because it's actually beautiful and you want to be outside.
That's true.
Versus the summer where it's usually hot and humid and raining and you don't want to be outside.
Somebody asked, had I been to the Nebraska property yet? I have not, but I am going soon. And somebody else asked, Matt Maynard asked, who shoos the snakes away? You or Morgan? Absolutely her. The only thing I'm shooing away if I see a snake is my underwear because I need a new pair. It's that bad.
No, he will like high pitched scream like a woman. Like it's not good.
Yeah, it's not good. You can't say screamed like a woman anymore.
What? Yeah, you can't
say that.
Scream like a woman. I said it.
Somebody asked if there's a local news segment today. No, we'll save that. We did talk about that ahead
about
of time.
It. Real. I'll tell you like
put the camera on you.
Sorry, I keep forgetting. Okay, I was going to do one just because I randomly had something pop up on the screen beforehand that was. I shouldn't say it's funny. It's really not funny, but basically it was something to do with a brawl at a Chuck E. Cheese and somehow four women all exchanged trying to shoot each other with the same gun till it got thrown into a car and that car drove off and then a second car drove into the Chuck E. Cheese building. Everybody was arrested. That was basically the gist of the story. And it's kind of sad because like there's guns at Chuck E. Cheese, not good, but the whole thing is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So that was in Brandon, Florida.
Somebody asked, is there any chance at an event at Big Cedar Lodge? There's always a chance, but right now we like where we're putting things at private golf courses and clubs that can cater to our participants in a way that it's unlike anything they've ever had before.
Real quick, if you're going to leave your comments about the contest, it's in the actual comments, not in the chat.
Yeah, not in the chat. Wait for the show to end, which is coming up in a few minutes. And then you were going to leave your comment in the comments, not in the live chat. Yeah, I think if people look through our live update threads as of late, they're going to see a different experience than we've ever done before. Any other questions coming through? No. Perfect.
All right.
Well, I want to thank everybody for joining in.
Sorry. I cut off. I went to me.
Well, put it back then.
Well, I was going to say something first.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to say for everybody in Florida or within the path of the storm, stay safe. And we're all thinking about you.
Absolutely. And remember, everybody loves BarkBox. If you have a dog and aren't using BarkBox, you're missing out. Go to www.barkbox.com/THP golf and you'll get a free month added to your subscription of whatever subscription you sign up for. So if you want Arrow to be happy, get your dog a BarkBox. For myself and Morgan, that's it this week. We'll see you guys next week and I'll go enter this contest.
Bye, everybody.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.